Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, if you've been listening recently, you'll probably remember that yesterday's episode, we talked a bit about the Lord's Supper, but it turns out there's more to say on the subject. So, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss a little bit more about Lord's Supper. What's it for? Why do we do it? What's commanded in the Bible? All that and more. So, let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We recently had our national conference, and one of the things that really struck me is how many people came up to me, and they were like, I listen to your podcast every day.
It was very encouraging.
I was stunned, but also very, very encouraged at that.
You know, the Lord uses His Word to conform our thinking to His mind. We are not the local church. We are a parachurch ministry. Our aim is to come alongside your local church. What we're doing here is something that hopefully you're using in your Sunday school classes, you're using in your home Bible studies, and you're using just in your own personal walk with Christ.
Well, last episode we were talking about one of the messages at our national conference given by Bob Bryant on the doctrine of the church.
Which is called ecclesiology.
Ecclesiology.
Yeah.
I found that very impactful because I've been trying to figure out, I'm unhappy with the way evangelicals meet as the church. And, you know, a lot of churches today, it seems like it's been transformed into worshiptainment. You know, it's basically just a concert almost, and you're just a passive viewer of preaching is sometimes just listening to a life coaching message or maybe a pep talk or something, you know, so it's kind of like light on teaching, and it's like watching a football game or watching a concert, and it just doesn't feel... You got to wonder, is this how God wants us to meet? You know, a lot of people, I get the sense that they are, I don't know if they're tired of church or they're it's not working for them. And just because something isn't working doesn't mean it's not true. But I also kind of get the sense that a lot of it's not true. We're meeting in ways that are just human inventions and without regard to how the church describes how the early Christians met.
That is a great point because... don't we tend to follow tradition? I mean, I know when I came to faith in Christ, I was a senior in college, and all I knew were the traditions I'd been around, and I'd been in a work salvation church, so I was guided into a faith alone church.
Right.
And that was great. It was different. But you know what? It was much of the same stuff. And it wasn't until I got to seminary that I really started thinking about questions like, how should the governance of the local church take place? What form of government should you have? What about elders and deacons? And what is a pastor? And also, what should the meeting of the local church look like? And that's what Bob Bryant talked about. And I think you have a question, right, that someone sent in?
Yeah. So to summarize Bob Bryant's talk, he basically went to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he pointed out that in these instructions that Jesus gave to Paul and Paul gave to the Corinthians, and Paul said, I praise you to if you keep these traditions just as I delivered to you.
Right.
And by the way, I'm doing a study on King Saul as an aside, and God would always give King Saul these instructions, and then Saul would kind of carry them out, but also kind of do his own thing.
Exactly. And he'd get in trouble.
And he'd get in trouble for it because God was like, Saul would be like, but I obeyed you, Lord. I killed all the people, but yeah, and I killed most of the animals, but I kept the king, and I kept the best of the animals that I am going to kill later as a sacrifice to you. But that was not pleasing to God. God wanted obedience.
No, and it kind of sounds like Saul was well-intentioned.
Yeah, he had great reasons, for, you know, he had great excuses. And
now, some of them might have been excuses, but they may have been... right, but the fact that good intentions doesn't make for doing what God says necessarily.
And I think that applies directly to the issue of the church. Paul says, I praise you if you keep these traditions as I delivered them to you.
Right.
And so what Bob Bryant argues is the meeting of the church, according to 1 Corinthians 11, revolves around a deipnon, a supper, an actual meal. And he argues from verses 23 to 25 in chapter 11 that it begins with the breaking of the bread. Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper.
Right.
And Bob Ryan's point, and I'd never seen this before, is that there is an order. You have bread, and then you have supper, and then you have the cup. And he made a big argument that almost the third element in the meeting of the church is this meal that you have together. And you can read about this in Acts. Christians met together for meals all the time. The meeting of the church is actually should be revolving around this bread, supper, cup. And it's not just a Bible study. It's not just a small group. It's not just a discussion group. It is when you meet as the church, it's this bread, supper, cup meeting. And I just found that so interesting because I've read in other quarters who are not free grace, who are not brethren, that there's these things called dinner church and these things called breakfast church and this idea that somehow meeting together for a meal is very significant. But these people arguing for that, I don't think they're arguing for it from Scripture the way Bob Bryant did.
Right. And by the way, he also went to 1 Timothy chapter 2 to talk about the teaching that takes place during the Lord's Supper meeting, prayer that takes place during the Lord's Supper meeting. Much discussion there, too.
Yes. And actually, we have a question from a listener about that. So why don't you summarize what Bob Bryant said about the teaching that happens during this time?
Okay. What he said is that the teaching is to be conducted by the men in the assembly, the men in the church, and that the women were to keep silent during the teaching time. In fact, they were not even to ask questions at the meeting. If they wanted to ask a question, they would ask their husbands at home or after the meeting. But in the meeting itself, the men were to come out and talk, and there was no single man that did this teaching. It was the men.
It was an excellent Q&A session, so definitely listen to the end. And here's the question. This is a question from Zach about this. So he asks, and I think he's writing from New Zealand. Zach says, so must my wife and children be silent in this context? To me, that doesn't make sense if one of the main purposes is fellowship in sharing a meal. Must my wife sit in silence while we eat together?
Well, that's a good question. It seems to me it depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about we're actually eating and no one's teaching, at our assembly, at Victor Street Bible Chapel, a woman can ask for some food to be passed to her. She can make a comment to her spouse or something like that because the teaching time has not begun. Typically, what we would do is we would begin with the bread, prayer, then the bread. Then we would begin eating, and we would pass the food, and we would eat. And the speaker, we designate a speaker. Now, lots of churches that do this don't have a designated speaker, but we would have a designated speaker. And he would generally eat less than the others and begin speaking while people were finishing eating.
Right.
Well, during that time, no one was to interrupt, not the men, not the women, not the children. And then when the man finished his remarks, and this in our church, we don't have a pastor, unquote. We have elders, and then we have others. Like, I'm not an elder at the church, but I do regularly speak at the Lord's Supper meeting and in the Bible teaching hour. And so after the person finishes, then men may make comments, they may ask questions,
right.
But the women and children do not say anything.
But it's during that teaching time. I think Paul specifically says they should learn in silence, which presumes the teaching is occurring.
Right. Now, also, of course, Paul says in verse 2 that men are to lift holy hands in prayer at the beginning of the chapter. And the word for men is the Greek word aner, which means males.
So it's not just people. It's specifically males.
Right. There is a word anthropos, which means humans.
Yeah.
We typically translate it mankind or man. But this is the actual word for males, and so even during the prayer time, it seems that only men should be praying. So can Zach's wife or children say anything during the eating? Well, it's a matter of opinion because Paul doesn't specifically say, and the Lord doesn't specifically say, whether women or children can say anything when the teaching is not going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when the teaching and praying is going on, only men are to be doing the praying, and only men are to do the teaching. Now, in our assembly, we extend men down to teens. We've had 13, 14-year-old boys who will read the scriptures, who will pray, they will ask questions, they will make comments. We basically break it at around that age, you know, around 13. In fact, oftentimes there will be a separate place for the children. I'm not sure that the Lord's Supper meeting is a good place to have 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds. Now, if the 5-year-old's a believer and they've come to faith and they're sure they have everlasting life, then yes, this is fine if they have the maturity to sit there. But if they're going to cause commotion, it would be better to have child care provided during the Lord's Supper meeting.
Right. One of the other questions that came up during his talk was the place of unbelievers or the curious. If the meeting of the church is around this supper and it's really this is for believers, then what do you do with people who are just curious and they want to learn more about Jesus? I think Bob Bryant said they just stop asking people because someone could just say they're a Christian and not be a Christian. So they just leave individuals to decide. But you pointed out there is a verse in Corinthians.
There is a verse that talks about the place of the uninformed. And it sounds like during the meeting they would allow a place to sit for people who were not yet believers in Christ. And I think what would have happened is, and we don't have any details, but I think they would have been given food to eat, but not the bread and not the cup.
Right. All of this is very interesting. And I think if you're dissatisfied with church or if you're thinking about planting a grace church, which we certainly need, free grace churches everywhere, you need to listen to Bob Bryant's talk. I really encourage you to go to our YouTube site, GES Vids, and look up Bob Bryant, The Doctrine of the Church. And he also has a couple articles on the meeting of the church, too.
And I might point out that it's possible to have a hybrid church. And a hybrid church would be one where you have your normal, quote-unquote, worship service, let's say from 10 to 11 or 11 to 12, and then at night you have a Lord's Supper meeting. And so it's possible you could have 500 people coming to church Sunday morning, and then however many want to come Sunday night. And if you have too many, well, then have multiple nights. Like we talked about Brian's church, they have enough people that they have to have the Lord's Supper on two different nights.
Well, Bob, I guess you can say that all of this is food for thought.
Amen.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. Radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about pastoral candidates, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.